Imagine going up on stage and sharing your greatest failure with the world. Many people would hesitate to tell such personal stories, but that's what the creators of the event, Failure Lab, are asking people to do. And current state's Emmanuel Berry spoke with one of the founders of Failure Lab. Emmanuel, tell us more about it.
Well, Failure Lab, it's essentially kind of an intimate showcase of storytellers that centers around stories of failure. But it's more than that in the sense that a major component of the events is time for the audience to have discussion and reflection after hearing these stories. So the event was created by four friends who are based in Grand Rapids, and so far they've held two, one in Grand Rapids and one in Detroit as well, and they're currently in the works to hold more, and both of those events sold out. So Failure Lab was originally inspired by a 2011 TED Talk featuring Randall Charlton, who was the executive director of Tech Town in Detroit. And Randall's TED Talk is different than most TED Talks in the sense that when you go to a TED Talk, it's all about how successful these people are and how they reach their success. And And Randall's talk is kind of about the worst failures of his life. It's gut-wrenching in the sense that he talks about, you know, losing all of his money, getting divorced, and his daughter's death. So the Failure Lab, one of the Failure Lab co-founders, Jordan O'Neill, he attended that TED Talk. And I spoke with one of the other co-founders, Jonathan Williams, who said shortly after hearing Randall Charlton speak, Jordan approached him with this idea.
What if we gave people the stage and a microphone and said exactly that? Like, you can't talk about your success or your accomplishments, but in a place for you to be open and honest and vulnerable and share a personal story of failure. And how would that feel? And we're like, man, I don't even know how that would feel. And we had some bourbons on a porch late one night, and we were just hashing it out. And we brought a couple other guys to the table, and we thought, let's try this thing out. And so the first one was in Grand Rapids in 2013 in May at the Wealthy Theater, and it set a record there for the fastest sellout. We had to add, we oversold it, so we had to add seats to the front and the back of the theater. And we had our format is six storytellers, and we blend music with it. So it becomes kind of this roller coaster ride of you hear a powerful story, and then after that, there's a brief moment for audience reflection. And this is a huge special ingredient of Failure Lab, is allowing crowdsourced lessons. So as a speaker at Failure Lab, you can't share your lessons or what you learned. So when you walk off stage, there's a giant countdown clock on the wall. And during that time, the audience members are encouraged to write in their bulletin or to tweet to us kind of their internal thoughts, whether it's personal or just things they learned or comments, and what you get is hundreds of crowdsourced lessons versus one person presenting and giving a canned lesson. And then after that, after the response, there is music. So you're really blending a story with people's internal thoughts and then music, and it ends up being just this amazing kind of up and down vibe. The whole event takes place in less than 2 hours. And for us, we really wanted to engage the community, get people together, having honest conversations, and it absolutely succeeds in doing that. We were kind of nervous, would this event be a downer? Because we had no idea. We'd never been to something like that.
How do you choose the storytellers for this event? The idea sounds really crazy that you're going to go up to someone and ask them to share their biggest failure. How do you find people willing to do that? And who can do it well?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You certainly have awkward coffees. And, you know, I've definitely offended some people. And, you know, I'd love to say that it is a very clean cut, organized process. And it's not at all that. We really just hunt down good people with good stories who are also good storytellers. And it kind of cascades from there. So we have, once you start talking to people, then they think of people that we should talk to. So we really started with our friends and then branched out to networks. And pretty much everyone, we've had 12 storytellers thus far, and pretty much everyone is a friend of a friend or a direct friend. And as the project and brand has grown, then now we have people asking us if they can talk. So it really changed. The first event, it was really difficult to get people to agree. Because they don't, you know, they have to trust you. And So that was very challenging, but it's been the coolest way to get to know people is start with a personal struggle as opposed to sitting down and what a lot of us do, talking about our successes. So I've made just some incredible relationships in a very short amount of time with this kind of reverse counterintuitive approach.
I'm kind of curious, if you had a story of failure to tell, what would it be?
Well, I have many, which I'm pretty comfortable with. We actually did an experiment before the first one. There was five of us at that time, and we sat in our offices here, and it was dark. We set up a stool and two bright lights, and all of us went around and we told our own failure stories to a small room, to the organizers, to see, okay, what does this feel like? And you could have heard a pin drop after all of us went. And there was stories that most of us are friends that we hadn't heard. And that was such an amazing way to start to say, what does this feel like? In my life, I mean, I've struggled with a lot of things. I think letting down family members. I've nearly gone bankrupt a couple times as an entrepreneur. I've had to pack up and leave the West Coast and come back to Michigan. I feel like I've let down. I think a lot of us have failures in relationships. And so it definitely hits home in my life. And I think embracing that and being comfortable with it and seeking change is really the mindset that we're trying to encourage. And it's really getting rid of the stigma. For me, I dropped out of college and I had a ton of shame around that. And, you know, I've really found my path with entrepreneurs. And again, it's just that acceptance and being comfortable in your own skin. And with how quickly the world is changing now and how very short time we spend at certain careers and jobs, we need to be willing to try new things just to keep moving forward. And inevitably, if you're trying new things, you're going to screw up. And so then it's just, how do we respond when we screw up? How do our peers respond? How do our bosses respond? And a lot of companies like to tote that they're okay with this, but then when it happens, they're really not structured to deal with it. And our coworkers aren't dealing with it. And that's what's so interesting about this, is it just really pushes back on the traditional thinking of hiding behind a veneer and a facade and saying, look, no one's going to go through life without screwing up. So it's really more important how you respond when you screw up than it is actually messing up.
What kinds of failures have people shared so far? I mean, are we talking about financial failures, relationship failures? What's the gamut here?
Originally, the idea was to do entrepreneurial business-minded, and it really evolved into just general failures. So it's very broad. We had a woman who talked about her divorce, and it was really tough because she's still been dealing with the aftermath. We had Brian Vander Ark of the Verve Pipe who talked about his sophomore release and how he essentially became a one-hit wonder and how difficult that time was to have such incredible success and then have such a hard time with the second album. And, you know, he got back up and he's done just a ton of shows since then and helps a lot of charities and people. We had a woman talk about joining Teach for America and the anxiety and isolation she experienced, and it was just very, very raw. And that was ironically a turning point in her life where she quit on these kids in her mind, and years later she now is in charge of an organization that tutors children. And that's what you see a lot of the time is failure is people's response. And so it's a given. Anyone who talks at a failure lab has gotten back up. It's just they don't talk about the getting back up.
What's one of the stories so far that has really stood out to you or maybe touched you the most or that you took the most away from?
Yeah, I would say it's a Grand Rapids gentleman by the name of Andy Soper, and he started an organization here that helps trafficking victims in the Midwest. So he's an incredible guy, and if you see him, he's really tall, strong, burly, tattoos. I mean, he's a big, intimidating-looking guy, and he had a mother who was really outspoken about, you always speak up and you always protect people, and he joined the military. And he had this situation where it was a very rare situation where he didn't speak up when other people were being hurt. And he then describes how he injured himself, threw himself off of a top bunk.
4 or 5 years after that, my failure was not rolling myself off the top bunk. I'm ashamed of that to this day. I feel like a coward that moment. My failure was that I forgot what my mom taught me when I was 4. Every day and every way, things are getting better and better. But for that to happen, you have to open your mouth, boy. My failure was not protecting these 16 and 17-year-old kids around me.
For years, that was just a huge failure and really haunted him. And it really affected his life. And I think what's special about Andy is he just has an amazing presence. He's an amazing storyteller. And he's just so honest and comfortable with himself. And I think it's just so cool that he went on to now protect children and trafficked teens in our country. And now he speaks all over the country to other organizations that are trying to do the same thing.
So at this point, you've done 2 failure labs. What are the next steps, and what's the demand like?
Yeah, it's interesting when you're trying to start something new, you feel like you're pushing this boulder up a hill. And what's scary is when it gets to a side where then you're chasing a boulder down a hill. And that's where we're at right now. We're actually turning down cities and organizations all over the country and in Canada because we want to grow the right way, and we want to affect people the right way and really represent the cities where we come properly. So as of this year, we have Mexico City is next, and then after that we'll be at a big university in Michigan. We'll say it's close to the center of the state. I can't say more than that now, but we're really excited about doing it at a university. And then we're going to do Grand Rapids again in May, and then we have New Orleans after that. We're currently on the hunt for more strategic partners around the country, good cities to bring this to and good venues. We'd really like to align ourselves with a national sponsor who essentially wants to go on tour with us and really generate some change and some discussion in communities around the country. And we're going to see how it goes in Mexico in that sense. And you know, maybe it'll branch out even more than that. But right now we're thinking a lot of America.
As you said, you ask people to reflect upon lessons after that they take away after hearing these stories. And I want to read some of those lessons now. They're kind of short and sweet, but very poignant. So we have, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say enough. It's hard when you feel like your failure is causing others to fail. It's always bigger than me. Sometimes we need to allow the things we don't understand to happen. And I'm not alone. So these very thoughtful things, very, I think, important lessons, most people would say, from listening to these stories. So why is it that it's stories of failure? I mean, what does failure get you that success doesn't?
You know, and that's a good question. I think it's just the honesty and the vulnerability. And for us as listeners, when you just leave it at that, when you don't justify or blame shift, when you just essentially confess, then that gives us as listeners the opportunity to really internalize. Then we're thinking about ourselves versus when someone is immediately blaming or you know, coming up with other people that essentially justifying. When we hear that as listeners, it's defense mode, and we don't react the same way. So I think it's really just the leaving it that allows us to think about it.
Jonathan Williams is a co-founder of Failure Lab. John, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.